I don't have no fancy slides this morning. And I would tell you this is typically one of my pocket sermons. But after this, and I usually say my pocket sermons are not that long and pretty short. But after this morning in this Bible class, I can't promise you that. Because one thing I do want to encourage you this morning, especially with Jerry getting ready to teach Proverbs, I strongly encourage you to do whatever possible to be here for Sunday school. Because you missed out this morning. Not because I taught this morning, because I didn't teach this morning. The class taught this morning. And those who are in class understand what I'm talking about. The encouragement that I received this morning was overwhelming. And I think everybody in class can say the same thing. Look around. Because look who's here. No matter what Satan tried to do over this pandemic, no matter what he tried to take down God's church, look around. We're here. And that means we're here for a purpose and a reason. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So first of all, I want you all to stand up. Those who are able to stand. I want you to stand. It wasn't in my plans. The good Lord told me to do this morning. If you're not able to stand, don't worry about standing. Then what I want you to do is grab a Bible. Find one close. There should be one in the pew. Make sure I don't lose my spot. I want you to take the Bible like this and start doing this. That's how easy our sermon is this morning. I want the congregation to say as a whole, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. That's how easy this sermon is this morning. You're able to do this, you are now hired. I don't care if you're sitting down or standing up, you are now hired to do the job that we're about to talk about. We talked about this morning about, you know, I come to work. Y'all can sit down now and relax. I talked about going to work. My job runs from 8:30 to 5 o'clock. And when I was told that when I got hired, they expect me to work from 8:30 to 5 o'clock. Now, as Christians, God expects you to work. He doesn't care your physical state. Because you now passed the hiring process. You were able to speak. You were able to pick up scriptures this morning. You have a job to do. And it's not that hard. Sometimes we try to make it more complicated than it really is. Like I said, I don't know if this is going to be a short sermon or not. This morning's lesson is called Sowing the Good Seed. It's easy. It's not hard. It's what it's expected. But we got to get some prep work done before I can even get into the lesson this morning. If you have your scriptures, this is an old gospel style preaching. We don't have, like I said, no fancy slide. We're going to pull out the Bible this morning. We're going to speak from His Word. These are not my words this morning. These are God's words this morning. I'm just speaking on His behalf. Now, there's nothing that my opinion is nowhere in this. A lot of times I have my opinion. I tell people at work all the time, you always know where I stand. I may not agree with you, and you may not agree with me, but I'll tell you how I feel about something. But this morning, I want to tell you how God feels. So turn back to 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. And I want awesome job read this morning, or I want to read it again. Mine's the NIV version that I will be reading from. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of the appearing His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season, correcting, rebuking, and encouraging. Remember that word, encouraging. With great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to serve their own desires, there will be a great gathering around them, a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Does that not sound like today's time? A great numerous of people preaching all kinds of different doctrines this morning. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. This is today's world that we're in. There's so many doctrines out there. All you've got to do is believe. That sounds great. Once saved, always saved. Once I'm saved, I ain't got nothing else to worry about. You know, got religions out there. The great prophet John, or whoever he was, the Mormon church. You know, they come to my house when they knock on my door and they start talking to them. You know, the first thing I tell them, if my guy can't get it right the first time, I don't need to hear the second. If this is only volume one, and we got another volume coming, when is volume three going to come out? Because we got to understand something. We talked about it this morning. My God don't change. You know, Malachi 3:6, he tells us there, I am the Lord and I don't change. Turn over to Hebrews. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 8 and 9. We talked about it this morning. It says in verses chapter 8 and 9, some of y'all brought this up. That's why I love the way the class went this morning. Y'all brought this up. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. You see how that follows that? Jesus is the same today. He is yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And it tells us in verse 9, don't be carried away with all kinds of strange teaching. It is good for the heart to be strengthened by the grace, not by souring foods which are not value to those who eat them. It's good to be strengthened by God's Word. Our God does not change. You know, the world will tell you, say, you know, you got to come up with the times. You got to come into it. Things have changed. You're right. This world has changed in many ways, forms and fashion. But my Lord hasn't changed. And they said, that's your interpretation. No, it's not my interpretation. It's God's Word that is being spoken of. It's not me to interpret. He tells. It's pretty simple as we go through. It's not hard teaching. It's not hard to understand. God knew that there would be a time when people would change His Word to whatever they want people to hear. You know, I came in the church this morning, and I passed a church, and I was told that they have four services. They run from 200 to 500 people per service. And you know what went through my mind? What's going on in there? What is being taught there? Of course, I don't go there to find out. But what's being taught there? And I can't help but go back to 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. Those itching ears. Telling people what they want to hear. Just come for a Sunday. Just 1 hour out of the week and you're good. Once saved, always saved. I don't know. All you got to do is believe. I don't know. But there's all kinds of teachings out there. Let me tell you something, brethren. We're told through scriptures, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. And all these teachings and all these things where people saying they got a better way than what God's way was, He's not going to be mocked. Because if you'll turn over to Galatians chapter 6, and I want to read 1 through 10, verses 1 through 10. Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 10 tells us this. Brethren, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him how? Gently. Remember what we talked about earlier? Patience. Gentle. Remember this as we go through this lesson this morning. Be careful in your teachings. He says, so bring them gently, but watch yourself, or you also might be tempted. We got to be careful. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceived himself. Each one of you should test his own action. You know, that's an easy test if all you got to do is believe. I mean, that ain't much of a test there. If all you got to do is believe, once saved, always saved, I passed that test. But we are told to test ourselves in the actions that we do. Why? Then he can take pride in himself. Because we didn't know that we're following God's word. Without comparing himself to anybody else. We don't have to compare how we're doing with our brother over here or our brother. If we follow God's scriptures and test ourselves, we have pride in ourselves because we know we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. We don't have to compare ourselves to others. Then take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instructions in the word must share all good things with his instructors. Uh-oh, we got a commandment there. Anything we learn, we don't keep to ourselves, we got to share. We can't hold it to ourselves. We have a responsibility to share this good news. Do not deceive. Deceived. God cannot be mocked. In the end of all these teachings and all these teachings being out of the world, at the end, God will not be mocked. We need to understand that and realize that. A man that reaps what he sows. Oh, it's getting tough here. A man that reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from the nature will reap destruction. You're teaching some bad stuff, you're going to reap some bad stuff. You're teaching some bad truth, you're going to reap some bad stuff from it. We need to realize that we need to stick to the truth. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You know, I look around at these times and I looked at what we've gone through and where we've been. How easy is it to give up? Go, why do we even do this? Why are we even here? But we're told not to give up. And that's why we went over the lessons we went this morning, because I want y'all to be encouraged not to give up this morning. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of the believers. We can't do good to the family we don't see. We need to be here, brothers and sisters. We need to be here on Sunday morning for Bible class. We need to be here for worship service. And we need to be here every opportunity that we can. Because we can't do good to one another if we don't see one another. And this is our opportunity to encourage us as we will go further as we study the lesson that we need one another in these times. You know, now I get to go to the seed of the lesson. All that prep to let us know there's nothing new underneath the sun. The Lord knew this day would come. The days that we're in now is not surprising God. You've heard that phrase before. You can't surprise God. He warned us. He told us this day is coming. So we have no excuses that there will be itching ears that want to hear things they don't want to hear.
So how as Christians do we handle that? We look at it as overwhelming. We can't see the forest because of the trees. We just see, man, this is too overwhelming of what we can, the difference that we can make. So turn over to Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to start in verse number 1, Matthew chapter 13. I'm flipping with you, so you got time to turn over there. You know, I just wonder, and it just came to the thought in my mind. My grandfather was the good old gospel preacher. This is how he preached and teached his entire life, right out of scriptures. I was wondering, as I'm thinking at this very moment, how would he look at these times? Because that was a different time for him and a different time. The church was different. The church was thriving more so than it is now. How would he look at these today's times? He'd do the same thing we're doing this morning. He'd preach from the gospel. He'd preach from his word, and he would keep doing what he was doing back then. He'd do it today. So let's go to Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to start in verse chapter 1. And we're going to, you can hold there for a little while because we're going through several verses in this chapter. Let's, starting with verse 1. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow the seed. As he scattered the seed, some of the fell along the path, and the bird came and ate it up. Some of it fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprung up quickly because of the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, the plant was scorned and they withered because they had no roots. Other seeds fell among the thorns. The thorns grew up and choked the plant out. Still, other seeds fell on good ground, good soil, where it produced a crop. Let's stop there for a second. Let's do the math for just a moment. Three out of the four fell on bad ground. How much production is that? That know that all the work you're doing, three out of four seeds you're seeding out there is falling on bad soil. The bird's going to come by and eat it. It's going to land on rocky ground. And it's not going to last and grow properly. And we got weeds that are getting involved in this. Anybody ever had a garden knows how painful weeds can be. Three out of the four are not successful at that moment. Only one is. We stopped right there for just a second. It says where produced a crop. And there's a dash in my Bible. Holds up a second. It holds me up. 160, or three times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The crop they produced was three times what he threw out there. Wait a minute. Three out of the four didn't make it on good ground. And I say, how is that possible? You know how that's possible? I look back at this congregation and look back at how many people we have affected over the years. Over all the years that I've been here, 20-some years. This congregation that I've been a part of. And I look back and I think about certain people like Tyron. Tyron was a little kid running around this building around here. Y'all remember him? Of course you do. Because what happened? He went to college in Virginia Tech. And he came back here and preached, what, two sermons? That's the crop we're talking about. That's the difference. This congregation's making for the Lord.
Remember. Remember. Because there's a point behind this. The disciples didn't get it either. We don't get it at times, and we overlook at things. And then, you know, when I read this scripture, I've read over it multiple times and never focus on how much was produced after that. Because the disciples had questions. You go to verse 18. And listen to them to what the parable of the sower means. When everyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the devil, the one, comes in and snatches away what was sown in his heart.
You know, we're fighting the devil every day.
Yeah. When we throw the seed out there, the devil's going to try to jump in there just like that bird and try to take it away. We preach and teach the word. You go out and spread the word and speak God. There'll be times where people don't fully understand, and Satan takes advantage of that and plucks it out of it. So we're fighting Satan. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who receives the seed that falls on rocky place is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Receives it with joy. But since he had no roots, he lasts only a short time. When the troubles and persecution comes because of the world, he quickly falls away. So now we got somebody who's excited. We see them excited. We get excited for them. They jump in. They're into the word. And then here comes Satan again with trials and tribulations, struggles. And they don't have enough soil and enough roots, the strength to hang in there and realize that it's just Satan trying to take them away. So their faith withers away because of the world. And they fall away. The one who receives the seed and falls among the thorns is the man who hears the word and worries of this life. Hears the words and worries of this life. He lets the trials and tribulation, the weeds of the world enter in their life and just takes it away because they worry about life. And the deceitfulness of wealth chokes it and makes them unfruitful. But the one who receives the seed that falls on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop that yields, there again, 160 to 3 times what was sown. I want you to understand something about this part of scriptures. You know, strong Christians, when they grow, they automatically create seed. The way they live, the way they act, the way they show. You see how plants are grown, how they reproduce. As they get mature, they jumped off more seed. Grass grows and becomes more. Forest becomes bigger. That's how it spread. But when we're sitting here spreading the seed, remember, just spreading the seed. We'll go over somebody like this, and they'll fall in one of these categories. But guess what happens? As we're spreading the seed, we come back around. It may have not took that time, but it may take this time. You have brothers and sisters, and we talked about this morning, Judy, that you don't know how we're going to handle it. They don't take and understand the truth. It's your job not to be the one. All you do as Christians and spread the truth. That's your responsibility. If it takes or doesn't take, you have no control over that. That falls on the individual. But it doesn't stop you from throwing that seed again. And something will hit, and they start to understand. They had weak faith earlier. They have a Christian who falls away, who's not there, who's not there. Man, he was a strong Christian there for a little while. How do we fix that?
We spread the truth. We encourage them. We spread it with mercy and grace and patience. Didn't we read that earlier? Have patience. Have mercy and grace. That's our job. Isn't that easy? Just spread the truth. Encourage one another. Don't take to heart that it didn't take. That's this world that we're living in. That's this world that we are now facing. Sometimes it's not going to take. But let's read on. Let's not stop there. Because this is where I think it will all come together at the end. And I think that's why Jesus told this next parable to his disciples to better explain the sowing of the seed. And in verse 24, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while everyone was asleep, his enemy, our enemy Satan, came and sowed weed among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprung from ahead, then the weed also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, did you sow good seeds in the field?" They're asking him, "Didn't you sow good fields? What's going on here?" And he says, "Where did the seed come from?" And the master said, "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up? "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weed, you may root up the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect up the weed and tie them up and bind them to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barns." You know what it's telling us there? We're not the harvesters. We spread the seed. On judgment day, because we live among the weeds, do we not? We live among the weeds. On judgment day, the good Lord will send the angels down to separate the weeds from the wheat. It's not our responsibility to worry about that. We don't have to be concerned. We don't have to be over worried about that. All we have to do is spread the seed. You want to build this church back up? Spread the seed. You want to make a difference, continue to make a difference here at Edge Hill? Just spread the seed. Spread the word. Let the course of the Lord take forth its own actions. We can't control that. We have no ability to control that. But we can keep spreading the seed, even to those who don't like the seed. It's like a wedding. You go to rice. It's going to cover the people. They come through again, we'll spread them again. That's all we got to do. It's that simple. You want to know how this church grows? Spread the seed. You don't worry about the rest. Who provides the rain? Who provides the sun? Who put the solid ground on this earth? All that belongs to God. We have one mission, one responsibility, one goal, and that's to spread God's word. There'll be times when it gets worse where people will not listen, and we cannot control that. You need to realize and understand that you are among the weeds. But that doesn't stop us from our work. Turn over, all y'all know this one. Turn over to Mark chapter 16, 15 through 16. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 16. Like I said, this is a verse that a lot of you already know. He said unto them, go into the world and preach the good news to all creatures.
We got the good news. We were told earlier not to hold it. We were told to share it.
Preach the good news to every creature. Here's some of the one things that take away all these other doctrines. Whoever believes and is what? Baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned.
We don't control that part. All we do is preach the gospel, spread the word.
Go over to back to Matthew, and I went back to Matthew for a reason. Matthew verse chapter 28. The last few verses in Matthew chapter 28, verses starting with 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, listen to this part, people. All authorities in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
Been given to who?
Jesus.
So this word right here belongs to God. It does not belong to us. We have no rights to change it. We have no rights to add to it. We have no rights to take it away. It is not ours to change. That's what Jesus just said.
And this is what he says after that. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Pretty self-explanatory, ain't it? How can you confuse that with any other doctrine?
All you got to do is believe. Is that what that says? No, it says it takes action. And it doesn't stop there. In verse 20, it tells us this. It teaches them to obey everything I have commanded you.
Which commandments can we let go?
Obey all my commandments.
That's where we stand.
We stand teaching that all his commandments, we don't take away, we don't add, we don't do anything. And you know, I love this last part. Because this last part is what encouraged me and motivated me for this morning's class. And surely I'm with you all the way, even the very end of age.
He is with us all the way through this process. So, brothers and sisters, I don't know how long I went, but you got to realize and understand we only have one job, and that is spread the seed. We spread it over those who take it, and then we'll re-spread it over those. We want to know how to handle this world and this world full of weeds. Spread the seed, the good seed, the truth, God's Word. Everything will take care of itself. So often we want to make them change. When it comes to our family members, when it comes to our brothers and sisters, when it comes to people we care about, we just want to shake them to the core. Listen to me. They're not going to listen to you. I hate to tell you that. Y'all have too many emotional connections, too many things going on. You have too much history among one another. They already know how you are. They already know how I am. They already know I sin and fall short. And all when I do this, all they're saying is, you hypocrite. Say no. That's why you do it with gentleness, you do it with patience, and you keep doing it. You don't have to beat them over the head. Seeds don't hurt. You ever got, like a wedding, I told you. The rice, when it hits you, it doesn't hurt. All we got to do is spread the word. The sun, the rain, everything else is in God's hands. With love, patience, kindness. If you have that approach, you will 30 times, he tells us in Scripture. That's what it promises, 30 times. And you look at this church, we've done that here. So don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Don't give up on Edgehill. Don't give up on the Tri-City Churches of the Christ. Don't give up on any of this. Just keep preaching and teaching the Word, and God will take care of the rest. None of it's hard. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know if everybody in this room is a Christian. I can't guarantee it. I don't know. I told you what's required of you, what God requires of you, not what I require of you. So I don't know what state of Christianity you're in. If you're in a hearing state, if Satan's trying to pluck the word away from you, Satan's trying to scourge you with tormenting, with trials and tribulations, struggles, but you are not by yourself. I guarantee you somebody else in this room is going through the same thing. You know, we've got great elders here. We got awesome leadership here. That's why these doors are still open. My heart is strongly believes that's why we're still open, because of the leadership that we have in this church. And they're here for you. I've seen these elders pray over individuals who are sick, gather together and pray over them. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I'm telling you, whatever you're going through, they can help you through. They can guide you in the right direction. They have the wisdom, the knowledge, and the ability to show you what God's Word says. They have the power of prayer behind them. This church is a powerful congregation because of its leadership. So I don't know what you're going through, any struggles you're going through. I know we can take care of it together. So if there's anything we can do for you this morning, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.